so thankful this morning. I was thinking about what I wanted to say, and I thought about Jesus, of course, and his person, his personality, his character, and so I kind of made a list of things, and I'm going to be throwing a lot of scriptures at you this morning, but sorry, kind of keep that in mind. But if we think about the character of Jesus, you know, what are the things that come to mind? So for me, I started out with he was holy. He was holy in the eternities past as the Son of God, but he was also born holy when he came into this world. We know he was born holy, according to Luke 1:35, because it says, "The angel answered and said unto her," meaning Mary, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." He was born without the old creation. He did not have an old creation. He did not have an old man. He was born holy. It was prophesied by David in the 10th verse of the 16th Psalm, saying, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." So in Acts 2:31, this verse is explained, saying, "He," meaning David, "seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption." Christ was God's Holy One, set apart to his service in the work of redemption. And we know, according to Ephesians 1:4, it was God's plan that we should be partakers of his holiness. It says, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." But we see also that he was of a righteous character. In Isaiah 53:11, it says, "By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." We should be so thankful for his righteousness, because he shares it with us. Even faithful Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Genesis 15:6. And in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." The only righteousness we can have that is worth anything is God's righteousness. We know that self-righteousness is just filthy rags. How often in our meeting, too, do we hear the words from Galatians 2:20? "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." He was faithful. Habakkuk said at first, "The just shall live by his faith." And 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." Do we dare try to live any other way than by the faith of Jesus Christ? Doesn't even our righteousness come by faith? According to Philippians 3:9, it says, "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." God's righteousness and God's faith seem to go hand in hand, don't they? Another attribute of God's character is that he is merciful. Mercy is found in the scriptures 276 times and merciful 40 times. I spent a little time last week with the word mercy, but I truly love Ephesians 2:4, where it talks about God who is rich in mercy. He loves us so much because he's rich in mercy. Where would we be without his mercy? I certainly didn't deserve it. I know what my life was like. I know what it's still like. And I know I don't deserve it. But God is rich in mercy, and he shares it with me. He gives it to me abundantly. But even in the Old Testament, when Adam fell, God showed him mercy. I know that's hard to see, hard to understand maybe, but in Genesis 3:15, you know, as soon as Adam fell, God was on the scene, and he promised something. God said, "The seed of the woman, which is Christ, would bruise the head of the serpent, the devil." This is actually history now. Christ bruised the devil's head at Calvary. The actual fulfillment will come when the devil is cast into the lake of fire at the end of Christ's millennial reign. I used to think, why would God allow Adam to fall? He knew Adam was going to fall. That did not catch him off guard. But because Adam fell, we now have power to become sons of God. We didn't have that before. We didn't have that in Adam before he fell. And not only that, we're going to be on the throne. If you believe it, you're going to be on the throne with him. So we didn't have that before Adam fell. And when God gave Israel the law, he made sure they had a mercy seat, which was on top of the Ark of the Testimony. And the two cherubim that face each other, gazing at the blood on the mercy seat. His blood was the reason he could show us mercy. In Isaiah 40:11, he says, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." Our Lord is compassionate. A verse doesn't have to have the word compassionate in it to describe him so well. And also Luke 7:11-15, you'll see that there was the time he entered the city of Nain and noticed a dead man being carried out, the only son of his mother, who was a widow. And Jesus said to her, "Weep not." And then he said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And he that was dead sat up, and he delivered him to his mother. That's compassion. Of course, we know the shortest verse in the Bible, John 11:35, Jesus wept. This, of course, took place at the grave of Lazarus. We see the heart of the Savior full of compassion for Mary and Martha and those looking on. What else could he do but to raise Lazarus from the dead? He knew from the beginning what he was going to do. After all, he is the resurrection and the life. One of the reasons Jesus came to this earth was to bring forgiveness from God to mankind. In Ephesians 1:7, it says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." See Matthew 9. He demonstrated this with the man sick of the palsy. He told him, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." But certain of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemeth." Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, "Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house." And he arose and departed to his house. The bell caught me. I had more to say. But we'll continue this next week. Okay? Ty?